Good morning, everyone, or good day. It is day 24 on our journey together, and this one is entitled Hunger for God. Restful one, listen with your spirit to the word of God for you. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven. His holy dwelling place, 2 Chronicles 30:26-27. This passage deals with the revival under righteous King Hezekiah, who lived about 300 years after David. The king directly before Hezekiah was an incredibly evil man. But Hezekiah's culture had heard of the great visitation of God in the past. They still sang the songs of David and his worshipers. They knew the miracles of the past, but they had not experienced them in their lifetime. They found comfort in what God used to do. But they ached to see something more than the power of the idolatrous culture in which they were living at the time. The remnant knew what it was to be a hidden people in a crooked and perverse generation. God moved in Hezekiah to begin a renewal by a deliberate and careful process, withstanding apathy and opposition. He cleansed the temple, the courtyard, then Jerusalem, then Judea, then all of Israel. He called for people who had not celebrated the Passover for a generation to sanctify themselves and come together to restore the righteous worship that God had instituted with Moses. The people responded with heartfelt passion and tremendous joy. They came together and celebrated in Jerusalem the greatest Passover that Israel had ever celebrated. Because there was an open heaven over them, when the Levites prayed, God heard, and a torrent of blessings was released in the heavenlies upon his people, and there was great joy. Restful one, the culture in which you live is like that of Hezekiah. Most of the culture is saturated with sin and iniquity. There is a continual release of depraved ideas and depraved leaders leading people into a deeper depravity. But there is a aching among righteous people, a hunger for a visitation of holy God. The stories of past visitations are selling very well. Fresh biographies have been written about great men of the past. Part of the remnant of today is looking back, as in the days of Hezekiah. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in all of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk 3:2. The remnant that is looking back knows what God has done, where he has been, and they are looking to see the past reoccur today. Restful one, God is not planning to reproduce the past in our generation. He is planning to do a new thing, and there is a hunger for a new move of God in our time. Whether it is a revival in our own family, or our community of faith, or your city, or your nation, I bless you with the joy of experience and visitation of the presence of God in your life. I bless you with seeing a new move of God. I bless you with the joy of experiencing a fresh taste of the presence and the glory of your Father God in a decadent culture. And I bless you with having a fresh manifestation of the glory and power of God in your day and in your time. I bless you with a powerful new move among righteous people who have deliberately and intentionally sought God, who have paid the price of doing the holy things that needed to be done, and of destroying the altars and idols of a culture that does not want them destroyed. Restful one, I bless you with the passion for God that King Hezekiah had. I bless you with starting as a minority of one, like Hezekiah. Very few religious leaders backed him when he first proposed returning to God. I bless you with having the intentionality and tenacity in your lifetime to multiply yourself, multiply the faith and the passion in your life into 2, then 4, then 16, then more. I bless you with igniting such a measure of hunger and holiness in your family, your community, and your nation that many will experience a visitation of God. I bless you with knowing about the past and knowing the hopes and prophecies about the future. In that bracket between yesterday and tomorrow, I bless you with the extravagant joy of being today's man, experiencing a visitation of God in a fresh way in your day and in your time. I bless you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Lord of the revived heart. Lord, I pray today for more hunger. I pray, Lord, for an insatiable hunger for God. Lord, sometimes the hunger leads us to eat, like in the natural, and sometimes, in a spiritual way of speaking, Lord, we have to eat, like in the natural, sometimes we have to eat, even if we don't want to, but there's an aspect, spiritually speaking, where we eat to become hungry. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the backbone and the boldness to stand up, not just against unrighteousness, to, for lack of a better term, argue with our neighbor about our belief systems or along those kinds of things, but to stand up in a way of what our life is supposed to look like. To lead, in a sense, as Hezekiah did in his time. He was the king. He had ultimate authority. Well, Lord, we're all kings in certain fashions. We're all kings as we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. We are all kings in the place of the order of Melchizedek, who was Melchizedek was a king and a priest, and we're all kings in our own castles, so to speak, in our own places where you have given us authority. And in that measure, Lord, we have the same ability to be able to stand up as he did. And in that sense, Lord, so many of us get stirred by hearing the moves of the past, whether it's Azusa Street or the Welsh Revival or I think it's the Hebridean Revival in Scotland, Lord, or what happened Argentina, Lord, to read about paragons of the faith, the past, Lord, that we can glean things from. Just like there are those to say, oh Lord, we pray for another Pentecost. That we could go back. Or to live in the time of Jesus. When you walked the earth, when you said the greater things will now be available to us because of where you've gone. That we live in the divine tension between what was and what will be. In the present moment, Lord, we have everything that we need. In this present moment, we are right where we're supposed to be. But in that place, Lord, we have to have faith to believe for something more. Sometimes it's doing our day-to-day, what you've given us in our assignment for this day, not knowing where we're heading in the grand scheme of things. And there are times where we have to look forward. Then it's difficult at times, even in present circumstances, in my own life in a sense, Lord, to feel like you're living in a fogginess of not knowing what's ahead or what's going on, or the world seems to be in such a swirl. But just like in Hezekiah's time, Lord, we can't just look backwards to try to return to what was when you're wanting to do something new. You're wanting to do something new in us. So for many, in seasons of transition, in times when you're trying to move us from one place to another, or you're trying to grow us in a place that we haven't been grown before, the things that we did yesterday won't work today. It's not that they're not good or godly, but they were for that season. Or maybe we've come to rely on a way of being or thinking or a system in which you do not want us to rely because you're wanting us to move into a new place. Sometimes you'll remove water from one place to move people to a place where there's fresh water. In a sense, Lord, everyone has prayed for revival so much, it almost became, there were whole new positions created where people called themselves revivalists. And everybody is praying for revival, but I'm reminded of the song that said that, you know, revival starts with me. Lord, I do pray that there would be sweeping revival, that there would be whole moves of God, that there would be a transcendent shift. But today, Lord, what I pray for is that there will be revival in the individual lives of the people that are under the sound of my voice. And I pray, Lord, that there be such a fresh, humble, anointed prayers that you would hear from heaven, that there would be an open heaven over them, Lord. You would hear their prayers and pour out blessings upon them. And that, Lord, that this would come in a way of honoring and glorifying you. It would come in a place of humility, in a sense, an alignment, Lord, that isn't from a system of activity to get you to do what we want, but it come out of a place of relationship. And finally, Lord, I'm reminded of, please forgive me if I get this wrong, but I believe it was Josiah. It was a king of, it was one of the kings, and, or Jehoshaphat, anyway, it was a J, and there was a prophecy about him, and he came to be king, and the impression is that he didn't particularly think a whole lot about what he was doing, but he again, like Hezekiah, turned back to the Lord. And in cleaning out the temple, he finds the scroll of which is written and prophesied by his own name of him doing the very thing he would do, and from which what would transpire. Now, in Scripture, it doesn't say that he was a mess. But I think for each and every person, Lord, we need moments like that, Lord God. Or we could at least use them, or we would like them, whether we need them, as we need water and air to breathe and drink and live. And it's, I pray that for these ones, Lord, for these restful ones, that they have an experience like that. It says, all of our days were written before we lived a single one. That you knew us before the foundations of the earth, that there was some level of relationship that existed with us, even if it was just out of your heart where it was birthed from. Lord, that there was some aspect of relationship that existed before the foundations of the world. You know, I've heard it said the book of life is not just where the names of those that are saved are written, that there's so much more to it than just that. And Lord, I pray today that there be a reading aloud for each one of these, Lord, in the heavenlies, as a reminder of all that has been written for their lives. And that they would have those experiences, Lord, where their present day meets a historical prophecy to which they are now walking, that gives them the courage and insight of the greater thing that they're called to and what they're called to do. Now, we don't have necessarily scribes in our life that have written these things down. And some of us have words, small and large, that have been written over our lives. And some of us maybe don't feel like we have those things. Maybe we don't feel like we've had a prophet come across our path and give these things, let alone a scroll that's in a temple that has been abandoned for some time as the nation had abandoned you. But in some form or fashion, Lord, there is a greater destiny over our genre and over our lineage, over our generation. There is some greater destiny as it is spoken in history about the greater things, about about the great cloud of witnesses in which we're surrounded, Lord, where we are finishing a race that they began. There's a baton being passed towards us, and with great anticipation, they are cheering us on. There was a great teaching by a man that I respect who talked about Mount Moriah. Moriah meaning that God is looking over with anxious anticipation, with bated breath about what's going to happen. And that Mount Moriah, in the place where, is the same place where Abraham offered up Isaac, where, you know, Jesus was, where the temple was built, and so many things. And I used to almost visually see like this railing with people in heaven looking down to see what is about to unfold, that there was a bated breath. There, all of heaven, there was something happening, transpiring, that all of heaven was eagerly awaiting and looking to see what was going to happen. That though they're seated, they now know the great glory. They see the resurrected Christ face to face. They know all of the things in clarity that was in obscurity to us. And as it has been said, that all of the angels, sometimes I think are like in amazement of how apathetic or how we don't get it. And at the same time, because we are obscured by the faith that we exhibit. But in all of that, that there are aspects of what's happening in the world, in creation now. And dare I say, for each person under the sound of my voice, where there are Mount Moriah moments. With bated breath, heaven is looking eagerly with bated breath about what's about to happen. Beloved, for those that I'm speaking over, and but Lord, I offer these restful ones up to you. Lord, I pray and I bless them with Mount Moriah moments. Right this very second, that whether Hezekiah, who, you know, built a modern marvel of the tunnel of Hezekiah that led and led people back to the Lord and was the greatest Pentecost that had ever been. You know, was the greatest holiday, the greatest, you know, time that had ever been up to that day. That there be some aspect of that. That there be some greater purpose, that there's a culminating experience to the lives of the people that are under the sound of my voice, that all of creation, all of their generation, that the great cloud of witnesses and all of heaven has been waiting to see unfold. I pray for boldness. I pray for courage, Lord. I do pray for insight. I do pray for clarity, God. But in the midst of even the obscurity, Lord, that you would give us the nudges and the courage and the boldness to be able to follow them and see them through. I pray, Lord God, that you'd be glorified and that the greater glory, the greater glory be released and that we'd be positioned and aligned for it. And I pray, God, a spirit of truth to reveal all truth, but Lord, that you would bring alignment to us in great preparation, and as Graham Cook again, to borrow one of his, to say that a quickening spirit be released, that a week can be done in a day, that, you know, months be done in a week, that years be done in months, that what would normally take years can be done in months, spiritually speaking, that even as we sleep, Lord, you would prepare us and teach us, that you would be our Rabboni, that you would be our teacher. Lord, please break the power where history, our history, to be the predictive teacher, to become the prophet of our life when it is not. You are a teacher, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We love you in Jesus' name.